All right, let's get this thing started. This is our second show, but we cut the first one down to a lot of shorts and shorter videos. This is kind of the first long form video. This will be available on YouTube. It'll be available on all the podcasting platforms. Got my boy Ronnie here. Introduce yourself.
Real Estate Ron in the house, aka Salzy, aka Aaron. Yo.
There we go. All right. We'll try and make this interesting and more conversational than some of these other like boring podcasts. Everyone wants to start a podcast these days and it does get pretty boring and the topics can sometimes be kind of plain. So we'll try and make it a little bit more conversational and normal. I'm obviously more of a Giants guy. Ronnie's a Bears guy. So that's kind of where you're going to see our expertise in terms of content. Again, YouTube will be available on Spotify and all the podcasting platforms. I'll have a link in the description below. So let's get this thing started. Ronnie, who are the Bears taking in the NFL draft? Who do you want them to take? What do you want their approach to be in this draft?
So as the weeks have gone on, since the Bears have traded the number one pick to the Carolina Panthers, who look like they are now zeroing in on Bryce Young, it leaves the Bears in a really interesting position over at number nine. And Ryan Poles, who is now a second-year general manager, this will be his second draft. He did not even have a first-round pick last year, so this will be kind of his first big move in terms of the draft. And he's a theme that he's had is he's plays his cards close to his chest. So, you know, a lot of smoke, a lot of, generalizations about who they may take. So nobody really knows what's going on. Bears' biggest needs right now, offensive linemen, specifically at the tackles, defensive linemen, both edge and interior. And then still a ton of other holes can easily justify taking a top cornerback, which I don't see as likely. But again, Ryan Poles has said that he will just take the best player that is there. So some people think that might be Christian Gonzalez from Oregon. I am wanting, I think, them to go Jalen Carter. If not Jalen Carter, I trust the Bears have now talked to him, I think, on three separate occasions in person. One being the combine, two being the pro day, and then three in-person visit at Hall Hall, the Bears facility. The talent is the number one pick talent. It's obviously the off-field concerns that has dropped Jalen Carter with stuff going on back at Georgia, the unfortunate incident that he is allegedly involved in. So if not Jalen Carter, and if not Paris Johnson Jr., who is a tackle from Ohio State, but now it looks like he might be going in the top five. It sounds like Arizona likes Paris Johnson Jr., who's an athletic left tackle from Ohio State. I would want them to trade out back. This draft in general, I think, is a really unique draft. I don't think there's too many automatic top guys. I mean, I think if you're looking at mock draft, this is like the most diversification I've seen in mock drafts in recent memory. Not that I'm like a draft expert, but I do really enjoy NFL draft season. A lot of diversification in this draft, even starting at number two, nobody knows what's going on. And there's no like absolute number two pick behind Bryce Young. So if the Bears do not pick at number nine, I wouldn't mind them trading back. A couple trade potentials would be Tennessee, who's at 11. Maybe they trade up to number nine. And again, no one knows what quarterbacks. Maybe Will Levis is still there that they like. Maybe it's Anthony Richardson. Maybe it's C.J. Stroud. Pittsburgh has been rumored to want to trade up to number nine to kind of secure an offensive lineman or defensive lineman. So a lot of options for the Bears at nine, whether it's picking there or moving back. Ryan Poles has also expressed his want and need to continue to stockpile draft picks. In a draft where there's no absolute standouts, it might not be the worst idea to just accumulate as many darts as possible to throw at the dartboard.
I agree. This draft kind of seems very it doesn't seem to be many people that like stand out and you're like, oh my gosh, got to get that guy. It seems like a lot of above average talent. But at the same time, what I love about the draft and what I hate about the draft is everyone just gets like, so, oh, this player, this team needs to take this player. This player's so good. Mm-hmm. He's the future. And then when he's not taken or then another player's taken, then, oh, it's a reach. Oh, I can't believe they didn't take that guy. And I'm like, they haven't played yet. They're college players. Like, they have to go to a team. They have to fit in. They have to actually perform. They're human beings. And they can be incredibly talented, and you could think that they're the most talented player left, but that doesn't mean that they're going to fit in with the team that you think should draft them. And so I love the draft because of the excitement of what if, what could this player become? But at the same time, it gets kind of tiring with the analysis and people saying, you know, they have to take this player, like a Mel Kiper, you know, big board. I can't believe they reached 15 picks for this player. And it's like, it's your board. Okay. Their board's different. They meet with these players. Yeah. They have scouts. It's like, cares what your board says? And so I see that a lot. And I've seen the overreactions over the years. I've seen it specifically with the Giants big time. Obviously Daniel Jones was the big sixth overall pick that everyone had an opinion on. And it was kind of a bumpy road for Jones for his first, 4 years. Played very well last year for the Giants and earned a nice contract. But the process in general is a little bit tiring at times because it's like, let them play. You can't just judge a draft pick based on the day of the draft. It's going to take years to truly evaluate these players and understand if they're going to become quality players. Dexter Lawrence on the Giants is a great example. I mean, he was a decent player his first few years, first round pick. And you're like, okay, he seems like he's going to be someone who's quality against the run, a decent pass rusher, but nothing special. And then he broke out last year and had like an all-pro level season and was dominant. So I like seeing the draft play out over many years. And that's why I love it, but I hate the draft.
I was just about to follow up and ask you, are you someone that loves the draft, hates the draft, indifferent? Just because I love the draft, obviously, just because I love football. So it's kind of like the first sign of, outside of the combine, it's kind of like the first sign that football's almost on its way back. But like you said, like, especially in a draft like this, where there's so much parity, like, you know, we can get all excited about who your team's going to take, unless it's, you know, maybe the number one pick and you're about to draft your franchise quarterback. It's like, whoever the Bears draft at 9, or I'm not quite sure where the Giants pick, but I'm guessing somewhere in the middle to late first. You know, again, nobody knows. They may or may not make an impact in year one. Maybe it takes them year four to make an impact. So it's like all this hype, all this excitement, all of the thoughts, whether you love the pick, hate the pick, it's like, it's pretty irrelevant, right? When, like, after the draft's over, you're kind of like, all right, that was fun. And now we have to wait 6 months, 3 years, you know, because the first, you know, there's not even OTAs or rookie minicamp, I don't think, until it's like May or June. So it's like, you know, there's so much hype, and then it kind of just dies out, and you really don't really know how the player is going to integrate into the system, whether that's offense or defense. So love hate relationship with the draft for sure.
Yeah, I remember talking to you about like the Bears quarterback situation at one point. I don't know if it was like early last year or some or whatever it was. And you're like, I'm just really down on the Bears quarterback situation. Like, this is just, it's not good. And then all of a sudden, you know, Justin Fields looks like he's, I mean, I think that you're pretty high on him now, right? Like, looks like a franchise quarterback.
Oh, I'm all in on Justin. JF1, baby.
So there you go. So like, it's crazy how the process changes from draft day, year one, year two, maybe year five, all of a sudden the player becomes a quality player. And then you look back in 10 years and you go, wow, that was actually a good draft class. Specifically with the Giants, that draft class of Daniel Jones and Dexter Lawrence, you know, at this point last year, you probably would have said that's not, you know, it's like whatever. It's not a great draft class.
Isn't that now, Andrew Thomas is a perfect example.
Andrew Thomas, too. He had a rough rookie season, and his second season started to play better. Now, all of a sudden, he's one of the better left tackles in the game. But I do look at that 2019 draft, and I go, wow. Okay. You know, was it 2019? That's crazy. So Jones, Dexter Lawrence, DeAndre Baker didn't work out. But Darius Slayton, decent wide receiver, Julian Love. They got some players. They got some players out of that draft class. It took a few years. I think I actually said that Jones was in year five. 4 years. Jones has played 4 years. So I'm going to shift to the Giants and what I think that they should do with they have the 25th overall pick, and I would trade it. I don't know. I'm not like they're in that position. I think
up or down.
Oh, a trade back. Definitely trade back. I think just kind of accumulate some more picks. I don't think the 25th pick is that much different from like the 35th pick. And I think it's been like 3 or 4 years in a row or something like that, maybe even 5 years in a row, where the 25th overall pick has been traded. It's just a common pick to be traded because it's at that point where if you're in the second round, early second round, you're not moving up that much. You don't have to give up that much capital to move back into the first round. But also you're at a pick where you're like, there's not probably a great talent available. So you can move back and get someone of similar talent in the second round. I would trade it. Zay Flowers, Jordan Addison, some wide receivers, Deontay Banks, potential option, the cornerback from Maryland. I'd move back, accumulate some picks. I don't think anyone's a game changer over there. And there's some players. Jonathan Mingo of Ole Miss has been rumored to be of interest. The Giants are interested in him. Maybe he's a second round pick that they go ahead and take. I'd like to see them add some depth at wide receiver. They've done that in free agency, but with veterans, get a young player, get some players in the offensive line. I would still do that. And then in the secondary, a guy like, if they do keep their pick, Deontay Banks is interesting. But this is actually a very boring draft for the Giants, because every year they're like a top 10. You know, they're in the top 10. It's like, all right, you have to draft a franchise changing player. So this is a lot more boring, which I think is a good thing. I think that they like that.
You're probably just looking for some chaos on draft night, just to entertain yourself.
Yeah. I mean, it is a pretty boring, like every draft for years now. I mean, they had the number two pick in 2018. They had the sixth pick in 2019, and then they had three first round picks in 2019. 2020, they had the fourth pick. I mean, it's like,
what did they do with the three picks in 19?
Jones, Dexter Lawrence, and then DeAndre Baker.
Wow. Okay. I'm just starting to think ahead to the Bears, who have two first round picks next year. And I'm like, already looking ahead to that draft. I'm like, two first round picks, that'd be so cool.
Yeah, and then last year they had two top 10 picks. They had the fifth and then the seventh. They took Thibodeau and Neal. We'll see how that one.
Oh, that's right.
How that one goes.
So somebody who doesn't know the Giants, what are their biggest needs heading into this draft?
I think they can go in multiple directions. They added a lot of receivers for this season. They're not going to be long-term plays like Paris Campbell or Jamison Crowder. Like, those are not anyone special. So maybe they go in the wide receiver route. I do want them to add some more young wide receivers, talented guys. That's why a guy like Jonathan Mingo, apparently he's like a Deebo Samuel type player. I'm not saying he's as good as him, but that's kind of his style of play. So maybe that's a route that they go in. Add more depth there. Always add offensive line depth. I was actually, I have some interesting notes about that. Cody Mock, a North Dakota State.
He's been written about in a lot of articles for the Bears as well.
Yeah. Apparently the Giants are interested in him and view him more as like a guard. Joe Tippmann, the Wisconsin center, yep. John yep. Michael Schmitz, Ricky yep. Stromberg. All these players have been rumored.
Bears have been heavily rumored for all these guys as well. So similar needs and kind of second to third round type players.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I would accumulate. I'd trade the 25th overall pick and just accumulate some more second, third, fourth, fifth round picks. I'd just add more depth. And that's what I would do if I were the Giants. I don't think that they're going to get any star player at their pick. So
I totally on board with that. It's kind of exactly where I'm at with the Bears. If this is more my draft board and rankings, but if it's not a potential blue chip player like a Jalen Carter or Paris Johnson Jr., then I don't really see a reason to just reach on like a mid-tier defensive lineman. When you could probably get similar value, if not same value, 10 picks later, and also add a second round pick to that.